Several large corporations have changed the way they manage employee performance. The latest one is GE. General Electric's top management has voted to get rid of annual performance evaluations. But should the federal government follow suit, especially with the recent push to encourage employee accountability? John Palguda is the Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. He joins me now with some insight. John, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so GE, of course, that's the same company that a few years ago used to do the rack and stack system where they would rate everyone from 1 to 5, and the fives were all fired every year. And
right,
now
we
are
call that the rank and yank.
Rank and yank, and yes, and that seems to be the same way they do it at Amazon, according to that recent New York Times story, where you're under continuous evaluation, so everybody complains and bickers and bitches about everybody else all the time. So somewhere there's got to be a good way to evaluate people. But is the annual performance review such a bad idea?
Well, the problem is, Tom, that the if the only thing you're doing is an annual multi-level performance appraisal review. So you've gone through the year, at the end of the year, employee comes in for that dreaded conversation with the manager, and the manager is, you know, also dreading the process. And if you tell the employee they're less than outstanding, they're not happy. The bottom line is it's not working as currently practiced in the federal government. And in fact, it's not working in any organization, public or private, if that's all you're doing. And this is nothing new. I mean, for GE, I think they just, they finally realized that it's not doing the job. And even in the federal government, we've gone through periods where we tried, for example, pass-fail systems because there was this multi-level review, outstanding, exceeds, fully successful, or not satisfactory. It just wasn't doing the job. We said, well, let's get rid of the labels. We'll do pass-fail, and that didn't do the job either. And the problem is, you can't just do this once a year and expect that you're going to motivate employees, you're going to help, folks figure out how to develop, you're going to reward your top performers, and you're going to deal effectively with poor performers. The process as being used is not working, hasn't worked for a long time, and that's why we're seeing the focus at the VA on, trying to find a better way to fire people. Well, I think the real discussion here should be is what's a better way to provide feedback to individuals to help them develop, to reward the good performers, and to help the folks who are struggling either get better or find, a job somewhere else that's a better fit for them.
And so what is a good system for doing all of that? Because in some ways, if you are managing people, you could probably spend all your time evaluating them continuously, measuring and giving feedback.
Well, that's true. And so, I years ago, there was a guy, W. Edwards Deming. He was the father of quality circles. He was
credited I interviewed him once 1,000 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah,
different career, was, different city, different situation, but yeah, I knew him.
So he was largely credited with helping Japan rebuild their economy after World War II, and a big proponent of holding employees and teams accountable for results. But he passed away in the early 90s, but before he lived in D.C. In his later years, and I went to a meeting at the Office of Personnel Management, Tom, where we were having this conversation. It was somewhere around 1991 or something. I think we were at the very early part of reinventing government, and they brought W. Edwards Deming into OPM. He was in his 90s at that time, and somewhat frail gentleman. And he sat at a table. The room was packed. And we were talking about how to improve performance. And again, here's a fellow who's a huge proponent of holding folks accountable. And somebody asked him, what about the annual performance appraisal system? And this very frail gentleman put his hands on the table. He was sitting down. He pulled himself upright, and he said, get rid of them. They are worthless. And the issue is he wanted to hold folks accountable. He knew that that once a year review didn't work. They you spend a lot of time on it. You can actually demotivate folks. And there's some neuroscience research that actually suggests the way the our brains work. You know, as soon as you perceive a threat by being told you're not outstanding, you forget all the other stuff that's being said. So your question, Tom, is, well, so what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is not letting people, you know, off the hook. What happened with pass-fail systems was that it was a good idea. We're going to get rid of labels, and we're going to say, look, most of you we know are going to pass because you're valuable employees, you know. And so the conversation is really about how can we help you develop further? How can we improve? How can we reward those who are really contributing well? But what managers, under pass-fail systems, and there was a point in time where over half of all federal employees, civilian employees, were under pass-fail. Managers said, hey, this is great. You know, once a year I check a box. You passed. Now go back to work. And employees and even supervisors, because everybody has a boss, were finding themselves very dissatisfied because they weren't getting any real feedback. Just being told, hey, you pass, it's not terribly satisfying. So the alternative, Tom, is, and that's what GE is doing and other companies that are trying to move away from the annual process as the only thing being done, is they're finding better ways to give ongoing feedback. In the case of GE, I understand they've developed an app for that. It's a smartphone app where the employee and their supervisor can exchange notes, can make little notations about, hey, here's something really good that happened. Here's something that went off track, but here's why, and here's how we're fixing it. You know, it's a way of giving ongoing feedback and having discussions and developing some reasonable metrics. Now, I think Amazon's gone off the deep end, perhaps, because all their metrics are, you know, are you getting those boxes packed and shipped? And you know, it's a hard production environment. But in the federal government, you know, we're not shipping boxes by and large. You know, we're engaged in a whole bunch of really important stuff. And it's finding ways to measure how well somebody is doing that.
We're speaking with John Palguta, the Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. And measurement is really the key. That was Deming's whole thesis, is that you have to measure what it is you are trying to get. And he would use, you know, him and some of his disciples would use the example of a cigarette lighter in a car. And if it has to be a certain circumference and a certain width, as the machine that stamps these out, you measure each one. And as they start to get out of range of what is an acceptable part, then you make an adjustment, figure out what the problem is. So you never make bad ones, and therefore you never make bad cars, and you never end up like General Motors and Ford and everything, and who produced basically junk in the 70s while Japan was learning how to make things that ran like sewing machines for 20 years.
Right, and so, it was constant improvement.
And so I guess the idea of constant feedback can apply to people and what they're doing as long as you pick what the right thing to measure.
Right, and it's not easy. I mean, being a manager, particularly a manager in government, where, you know, we're doing cutting-edge research, we're defending the country, we're providing, you know, services. It's, you know, being a good manager is hard, and you've got to figure out whatever your job is, how do you know, if you're a supervisor, how do you know if someone's doing the job well or not? And if they're not doing the job well enough, how do you help them improve? And that's that's your job. Your job isn't to, you know, sit there and produce widgets too and then give somebody a performance appraisal at the end of the year who's also doing that. It's your job is to manage employees, help employees getting the job done, and measuring and figuring out what is the right measurement here. How do we get feedback? Now, you can still do the annual appraisal, but that's kind of a summary sort of thing. where it's like, hey, we've had this ongoing conversation. We've got this data. We know, and we know going into that final review that, hey, here's how we are. And I think, you know, pass-fail could work if we have other data that's being used, you know, throughout the year. So the bottom line here, Tom, I think, is that holding federal employees and agencies accountable for accomplishing the mission is extremely important, and that includes helping poor performers improve and recognizing good performers. The point is we simply cannot rely upon a once-a-year multi-level performance appraisal to do that job.
And John, do you know of any federal agencies that are actually doing that or trying to do that?
I think we've got we have agencies that, you know, I think are doing certainly a better job. We see that in the annual Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey results that some agencies get better feedback than others on that. But you know, the appraisal process is in law and regulation. And I think we have to have a shift in our thinking here from, well, that's how we do performance management. We do this annual appraisal that's in law and regulation. We may have to actually try some demonstration projects or some other approaches. And I think we have agencies out there that are piloting that, and it's going to be worth following this. And you know, maybe we can follow GE's lead here and find a better way.
You know, I was just thinking in relation to the National Portrait Gallery, they're going to unveil a portrait of Roberto Clemente today. He was the populist pick for which baseball portrait should be on display. And maybe baseball has the best system for all of this. Almost everything a baseball player does is measured and can be expressed in a metric.
Yeah, Moneyball.
Well, yeah, Moneyball, but just look at the stats every day in the paper, and they're all there. And so players either drop out if they are just not doing any, or they go down to the minor leagues, or if they are major league quality but they don't have the metrics a particular team needs, often another team will take them on and trade for someone whose metrics more closely fit the first team. And maybe that's a better way to look at people. That way people get fitted where they can do the most good and maybe succeed the most.
I think that's a great idea, Tom. You know, let's have, you know, Moneyball for federal performance management.
Yeah, we just have to know what it is we want to measure. You know, what's your on-base percentage when it comes to getting that program delivered?
And you know, that sounds like, well, you can't do that. Of course you can do that. It's hard, and it's not going to be perfect the first time. But I think that's the answer, Tom. We got to figure out how we really know when someone's doing a good job. How do we help them? How do we reward them? And how do we, if it's not a good fit, how do we help them change teams? But there's a better way to do it than the way we're doing it right now in government. And I think maybe this is a great time to be thinking about what are the alternatives here, and can we actually try something different that works?
All right. We'll give it a try. I'll come up with a scorebook, and you guys can publish it. John Palguda is Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, it's great talking with you.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thank you.